Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. All right, we are going to start with a video. We haven't done this for a while because sometimes it causes problems on our Facebook Live page and copyright issues, but we're going to try it today. I want you to watch a short video, make sure the sound is on and up, and then we'll talk about it in a moment.
A little boy about to hear his dad's voice for the first time.
This is the moment so many people are talking about. Grayson Clamp, 3 years old, he had never heard his father before.
Grayson, talk to him, Daddy.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.
Grayson points his finger there, hearing sound for the first time ever.
Can you hear Daddy?
Here.
Daddy loves you.
Grayson was born without nerves in either of his ears. Watch as his father tries to talk with his little boy, who in this moment has turned back to his book.
Show me puppy.
And little Grayson points to the puppy on that book. As puppy. The moment unfolds, Dad simply asks his little boy a question.
You hear Daddy? Yes.
Everyone in the room recognizing it's almost too much for this little boy to comprehend at first. It's now been a month, though, since that moment, and Grayson's mother tonight telling us she remembers it like it just happened.
A mix of overwhelming joy, relief, excitement.
Without those nerves in his ears, a cochlear implant at 18 months old didn't work. So here's what doctors did instead. An experimental procedure, complex brain surgery. So rare, he's the first child to have it in the U.S. Bypassing the ears altogether, surgeons inserted a tiny microchip directly onto the brain's sound processing center, right there in the brainstem, to stimulate hearing, skipping the ears and going straight for the brain. The operation took 8 hours. 4 weeks he would spend in the hospital sleeping with that teddy bear. Grayson's mother telling us her son transformed.
He's more aware of what's going on around him.
Both parents knowing the first words he heard, Daddy loves you.
Daddy loves you.
I just thought that was a cool video. There are really cool videos. You can watch lots of them, compilations of people hearing for the first time. See, when my kids were in the womb, I talked to them. I wanted them to know my voice. A baby knows his or her mom's voice distinctly because, I mean, it's reverberating around them all the time when they're in the womb. Unfortunately, some children are born without the ability to hear. Now, they talked about cochlear implants. I mean, that one is a little bit different. But cochlear implants allow a hearing-impaired person to hear sounds that they would never have been able to hear before. And that's what you watched in that video, someone hearing for the very first time. And you probably noticed how excited and overwhelmed that little boy Grayson felt the first time he heard his father's voice. A newborn baby, I bet, probably feels the same way when they first hear their mother in the bright light of day. What was once a muffled vibration is now much louder and much clearer. But being able to hear our father and our mother, it gives us comfort, as well as it guides us in many ways in our life as well. We can tell if our mother is angry by the sound of her voice. Hearing disappointment in our father's voice is often worse than any other kind of punishment they could give us. And yet, here we are as Christians, and so many of us seem unable to hear the voice of God. People tell me all the time, God doesn't talk to me. I mean, maybe we hear it, maybe, but we aren't sure. It's just a muffled noise in our lives that we can't quite comprehend. One of the most precious gifts, I think, that God has ever given me is that I can hear his voice and I listen to his directions in my life. Now, I want that for all of you. It should be expected. It should be normal. It should be ordinary that for every Christian, we should hear and understand God's voice in our lives. I don't think that God speaks to me more than anyone else. I don't think he speaks to me any more than he used to. But I am able to hear him much more clearly, and I spend a lot more time listening to him than I used to. If you've ever wondered, how do I hear from God? How can you hear from God? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to help you to know how to do it. I think it matters. If you're going off to college, it matters to get God's guidance. If you're raising a family, it matters. You want to know whether God approves or not of what you're doing. The first time you hear God and recognize that it's truly His voice, I believe that you might be just as happy and overwhelmed as little Grayson was in that video. So, the first and most important point to make about hearing God is that it's not about knowing enough. It's not about doing something special. It's not about being good enough. It's about having a relationship with God. How are you able to learn your mother's voice? By having a relationship with her. Everyone has a biological mother, but not everyone knows their biological mother's voice. A child who is adopted, for example, obviously has a birth mom. However, if they've never met that mom, that they will not all know that mom's voice. That makes sense, of course. However, they may know their adoptive mother's voice very well. Why? Because they have a relationship with her, with their adoptive mother. Hearing God is about having a relationship with Him. If you do not have a close relationship with Him, He can talk to you all you want, but you're not going to recognize that that's His voice. Even if He's talking to you all the time, you won't recognize it. I mentioned in a recent sermon that we have gotten a new puppy a few months ago. When we bought it, the family that had bred him explained that it would take him a while to get used to us in the new home. After 3 days, that would be the first moment, he would start to feel more comfortable. And then after 3 weeks, he would start to finally act like himself. And then we took him to training every Monday for 8 weeks. And we tried to get him to listen to us, which is still a work in progress. But at the class, at least, when I'd walk around in the circle and I'd say, "Doodle, sit," he would usually sit most of the time. Now, why is it that when somebody else would say "sit," he didn't do anything at all? Well, because he knew our voices. When I'd say "come, Doodle," he would run to me. Okay, that's Doodle is his name. But he got to know our voices better. And the longer we build a relationship with our dogs, the longer we're their owners, the more we spend time with them and practice with them, the better and better at responding to our voices they become. And the same is true with your relationship with God. You must spend time with God in order to recognize His voice. You must. You cannot expect to hear God's voice if you never spend any time with Him. And you shouldn't expect to hear from God just for a few minutes one day when you're in a dire straits and you need to hear Him. If you haven't been spending any time with Him before, He might be talking to you and you have no idea. A daily relationship with God is necessary, not only to hear His voice, but to recognize the difference between His voice and all the other voices that you hear on a daily basis. I was told once that the way that bank tellers help to recognize the difference between real money and counterfeit money is they just have to touch real money over and over and over again. The feeling of it is how they can tell the difference. And the best way to recognize the difference between God's voice and our own voice or the devil's voice is to spend as much time possible focused on God. According to Henry Blackaby's Bible study, Experiencing God, there are 4 distinct ways that God speaks to His people. God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church, in order to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. So if you want to begin to hear from God, you must start building a relationship with Him and listen to these 4 ways that He speaks. And the more that you listen, the better you will get at recognizing His voice and differentiating His voice from the other voices in your life. Let's start with number 1, the Bible. It is most obvious, perhaps, but also the most ignored. If you want to hear from God, read your Bible. If you say, why doesn't God talk to me? My answer would be, well, then why aren't you reading your Bible? That is how he talks. He is ready to talk to you. Open up the book and listen. You will be amazed at how reading the Bible, those words will just begin to pop out and they'll speak to the circumstances of your life. You start expecting that when you read the Bible, that you're going to start to hear things about your upcoming day or about the circumstances that you're going through. If you aren't reading your Bible, you are missing out on one of the most important ways that God has to speak to his people. And if you are reading your Bible, good for you. Now you should start expecting God to talk. If you are reading a Bible passage and something you read convicts you, or something that you're reading piques your interest, listen to that. It just might be God trying to guide you in one way or another. One of the best ways to begin to tell the difference between God's voice and other voices is by learning what God desires and discourages in the Bible. If you feel like God is really telling you to steal something from someone else, I would highly question that you are hearing God's voice, because God clearly states in the Bible, you shall not steal. He's not going to tell you to start doing something he is forbidden in the Bible. On the other hand, if you feel like God is really telling you to go and apologize and ask forgiveness from someone, even though you don't really think you did anything wrong, I would highly believe that that is God's voice, because Scripture is full of passages about repentance, encouraging us to turn away from our sins. God speaks through the Bible. He also speaks through prayer. In prayer time, he will talk to you, but you've got to shut up and listen. You must quiet your mind and listen to him. Most of my life, I prayed by asking God for a lot of things. And so, if I prayed a long time, that meant that I just had a lot of prayer requests. Now, prayer time is completely the opposite. I spend very little time asking for things, and most of my time sitting there, being quiet, and listening. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you're just hearing your own thoughts. You're just hearing your own voice. You're talking to yourself. Sometimes, perhaps that's true. It's always a temptation and a fear, a very real fear of mine, that what I'm listening to are my own desires, my own thoughts, and then I go out and say, oh, that's God's voice. Now, from my experience, there are some ways that I test whether the voice that I'm hearing from during prayer time is God's voice or my own voice or something else. For instance, am I being encouraged to do something that is consistent with God's will? If it's not, then I don't really think that's God's voice. Do I hear God telling me something in prayer time and when I'm reading the Bible? Well, that is more likely to be God's voice. On the other hand, before I pray for something, if I really want it, if I know that I personally really want it, then I am going to test that voice over and over and over again. I try, before I pray, to disregard my own desires, to really not care one way or the other, to be a blank slate ready to follow his direction. Now, that's easier said than done, I think. My advice is that if you're hearing a voice tell you to do something that is at all questionable, even doing something that you already want to do, I feel like you should pray about it again and again over a period of days to really test it out, see if it's a consistent thing you're being told. When I hear from God, I often feel like the words are being told to me, if that makes any sense. It's different than my usual inner dialogue, which all of us have. There is a force and an authority when they come from God. When those words come from God, it's like I have to listen to it. That's not just there when I normally think about things myself. But again, it's just a matter of doing it for a long period of time. I recognize the difference between, oh, that's just myself thinking, oh, I want to do that, versus God saying, do this. Okay? God also speaks through, number three, circumstances. Some of you know this story, but I think that it expresses this way of God speaking very well. When I was in Connecticut at my first call as a pastor, Christy and I decided that we should really start looking for another church that was closer to home. So I looked at other churches that were looking for a pastor, and I saw this church, Emmanuel's, listing on there. And I was really intrigued by everything I was reading about. I was interested. But at the time, this church was still in the ELCA. And I was an LCMC pastor, and I just wasn't willing to do that again. A few days later, after I told Christy and I had her look at it, we checked it out, and it was gone. The listing was literally gone. So I decided, well, I guess that's God saying, stay in Connecticut. So I did. But a few months later, things weren't getting any better, and I felt like, again, I really needed to leave. So I looked at the listings again, and there was Emmanuel again. The listing was back months later, and this time, it was an LCMC church. So I stopped, I applied, and here I am today, 12 years later. One of the ways that I knew that it was God that I was hearing from was because of the circumstances that I was experiencing. If I hadn't found a church that I was at all interested in, I might have seen that as a sign that I should stay in Connecticut after all. But when the church that I was interested in suddenly changed to become just what I wanted, that seemed clear that God was revealing his purposes for me. And honestly, I believe that I was proven correct, because it has been such a blessing to be here at Emmanuel for me and my family. So listen to the circumstances in your life. Pay attention to them. It's why we have God stories. Watch to see how God is alive and active in your life to see where he might be leading you. Finally, God speaks through the church. The more you come to church and church activities, the more possibility there is that God will speak to you through a sermon or through a song or through another church member. Have you ever come to church and felt like the message just spoke directly to you, or a God story or a song that was dealing with exactly what you're dealing with? That's God. He is speaking to you. That's why it is so important to come to church often, so that you have more opportunities to hear God. And that's why it's also important to be prepared to hear from him as well. Pray that the message would speak to you. Pray that I'm listening to God so that I'm speaking what he wants to say to all of you. And if you're struggling with a decision, seek advice from godly people who will pray for you and who are listening to God themselves so that they can guide you to what God would have you do. So in summary, as Christians, we should expect to hear God's voice. So focus on your relationship with him and spend time with him and read his word and pray to him and listen. Don't just ask things, listen to him. Open your eyes to see how he is working in your life and come to worship just like you're doing today or online. Spend time with people from your Christian community. And one day, I pray that you will hear God's voice and hear how much your daddy loves you, and to hear how much he has to say to you. Amen.